I'm speaking with Jenny Brume from Pompeu Fabra University. Her work explores how Spanish teachers in the 19th century perceive linguistic reality in Catalonia. She shares her perspective on the ways this work can reduce present-day European conflict.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Joan.
Would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Jenny Brume. My research interests have always belonged to two fields. The first one lies in contrastive linguistics, the translation of linguistic variation and fictional orality. The second research field I have devoted my research to the historical linguistics, particularly the history of Spanish and Catalan in modern times, but also to historiography of Spanish and other Romance languages and problems associated with the diachronic approach.
Would you tell us about your research?
Yes, I worked in translation studies for many years, but the current situation in Catalonia has made me revisit my research from the 90s. At that time, I was particularly interested in language policy in Spain. That is why I wanted to look into the historical background of today's language conflict in Catalonia. I wanted to know how it came about that Catalans today are bilingual and that many even prefer Spanish to Catalan. I knew that Spanish was made compulsory in public education in the 19th century, so I was asking myself what teachers did when they stood in front of children who had a different mother tongue. That is, teachers were obliged to teach Spanish, but the children only knew Catalan from home. That's why I think it's important to look at the teaching materials that teachers developed during this period.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you tell us about the sociolinguistic context of your work?
Yes. This project is about the perception of linguistic diversity in Spanish teaching materials published in Catalonia in the 19th century. So there are two languages implied, Spanish and Catalan. Through the 19th century, many Spanish teaching materials were conceived to be used in primary schools to teach Catalan children who until this point had little or no knowledge of Spanish. The expansion of the public school system played a major role in the spread of bilingualism. The authors of teaching materials are often direct witnesses or testimonies to the changes in language distribution and usage. So the main question here and the sociolinguistic context is who speaks which language, when and where, and what is each language or variety used for?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you tell us about the conflict your research addresses?
Yes, the conflict is primarily on the clash or the friction between Catalan and Spanish. When the Bourbon dynasty came to the throne in the 18th century, they imposed Spanish language for the whole nation. Mainly, they tried to organize Spain following the French model. This continued under the liberal and conservative governments in the 19th century. So Spanish was imposed on a mainly monolingual Catalan society, as well as in other parts of Spain, which speak a different language. The conflict I study is specific to the Spanish society in the sense that there are spoken other minoritized languages, for example, Galician, Basque, Asturian, and Aranese, for example. But the conflict conflict is similar to other situations of minoritized languages outside of Spain.
How similar is the situation today to the situation in the past?
The situation is similar, but also quite different. It's similar as the two languages, that is Catalan and Spanish, are still implied. But it's different because now the vehicular language at school is Catalan and Spanish is one subject among the curricula. There is another factor that is different and similar as well, that is the presence of a third language. This is English today, but in the past this position was occupied by Latin. Naturally, today multilingualism is typical for a larger part of population than the trilingualism, Spanish, Latin, Catalan, in the past.
Mm-hmm. How does your work shed light on how we can reduce this conflict?
In the 19th century, teachers who were obliged to teach Spanish developed different strategies to face this situation. And today, teachers do not only need a good competence in the two languages, two or three languages they teach, but also they also need strategies to negotiate their usage in and outside the classroom.
Would you tell us about the data you are working with?
Yes, I'm compiling a corpus. This is teaching materials from the 19th centuries, and for Spanish, for example, and there are all grammars, dictionaries and vocabularies, spelling books, manuals of good manners, or teaching plans and reforms.
And what did you discover?
I've discovered that it is only in recent years that teachers are being taken seriously as subjects of historical studies in research. In sociolinguistic research, teachers have been regarded as linguist multipliers since the 90s. At the latest. There are many studies on the situation today, on the attitude of teachers and their behaviors today, but historically this has not been addressed. So mm-hmm. I focus on the historical subjects mm-hmm. who are responsible for the introduction of bilingual behavior.
What's the biggest misunderstanding you encounter about multilingualism or language diversity?
Yes, I'd like to speak about myself. I grew up monolingual, but between two dialects. My mother's Berlin dialect and my father's Thuringian dialect. And Saxon was spoken in the neighborhood. These are all different varieties, but that didn't make me multilingual. I then learned foreign languages, for example, English, Romanian, when I went to Bucharest to study. I have a high proficiency in Spanish and Catalan. I would say that I'm at least trilingual. Mm-hmm. But many people would deny me that because I don't speak Catalan and Spanish without an accent. I think that's a big mistake. There are many degrees of multilingualism and mm-hmm. it depends on what I do with the languages and what I need them for.
What do we learn by looking at these conflicts through a lens of history?
I learned a lot because I never focused on the subjects. I always focused, if I can say, the agents of the language policy. Because if you call teachers linguistic multipliers, they are agents of the language policy. So we have a degree of all levels of language policy. A macro level, this is, for example, the language policy by country or by a state. And then we have a micro level. This is all, it has been studied, but we forgot the meso level, the intermedium level. And I think teachers, for example, act at the medium level. They act on a micro level too, but it's very important to take into account this medium level or meso level. And historically, we didn't look at them as agent of language policy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what role should we play as linguists in reducing this conflict?
The first thing we should do is put all the pieces together. If the teaching of Spanish in Catalonia hasn't been researched so far, there is a piece missing. Not only should value be placed on Catalan, but Spanish is also part of Catalan history.
What can historical sociolinguistics contribute to own understanding of language diversity or multilingualism?
People try to develop strategies to go ahead with several languages. From a historical point of view, they do that intuitively, but today, for example, we can develop conscient strategies and to help people to go ahead with using several languages.
Mm-hmm. What is the future of multilingualism or language diversity?
I think language diversity is necessary, and multilingualism too. Language diversity, it's a good thing. I grew up with several dialects. Now in Germany, for example, they are not dying, but they are converging in major dialects or major forms of expression, and standard language is pressing them to disappear. And I think this is not a good thing. We should preserve dialects and permit the expression of oneself. Myself, I experience this with my own dialect. This is a Saxon dialect, for example, and it's a less valuated dialect among the German dialects. I've been stereotyped that I'm dumb from the dumb people when I speak this dialect. In teaching German, you can't teach German with a Saxon dialect, for example. And I think that these stereotype types should be overcome. We should develop a more tolerant attitude to all accents in one's own language, but also in foreign languages.
Okay, and so would you tell us about your work to reduce conflict in the present-day Europe?
I don't know if I really can contribute to reduce conflict in present-day Europe, but I think we should be sincere about the history, and this is the fact with my research on Spanish in the history of Catalonia. You can't only focus on the recovery of Catalan when there is a strong current to introduce Spanish in the society. This is a part of Catalonians' history. Mm-hmm. And I think we should be aware of our lens we put onto history and what we want to see and what we need to see.
Okay, thank you.